Here's a sneak peek of our episode.
When I told my mom that I was moving to Portugal, she was like, that makes me like scary and makes me want to cry, but we're not going to do that. I feel like the only hard moments that I've had here have been from back home.
I just couldn't picture myself like starting over.
I don't know if it's a toxic thing or what, but
I think that's the image that people have of people that move abroad. Mm-hmm. What's one thing you gained from moving abroad that you would have never experienced if you stayed?
Welcome to From Lisbon with Love, a podcast about real stories of love, laughter, and life in Lisbon from women who have left it all behind.
The podcast where we share real stories about moving to Lisbon, starting over, and figuring life out along the way.
We talk love, dating, friendships, breakups, healing, growing, all of it.
Basically, the stuff we usually talk about over coffee or vino.
If you're thinking about moving abroad, already here, or just love honest conversations with heart, you're in the right place.
This is From Lisbon with Love.
Hello and welcome back. I am April Betts.
I'm Anna Chirino.
And this is From Lisbon with Love. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about expat guilt and what it's like for our family members back home.
And our friends.
And our friends of moving abroad. And we're going to dive deep into all of that. Mm-hmm. So let's get into it.
Yes.
Okay. So our first question, Anna.
Yes.
What was your family's reaction to you moving? Well, what was your family's reaction when you told them that you were moving abroad?
Well, they obviously knew that it was coming because I kept talking about it for years.
Yeah.
And then the moment finally came that I decided to do it. So they weren't really surprised, but of course, it's a different thing, like knowing that it will maybe happen someday versus when it's actually going to happen, also for myself, of course. But they were very supportive, and also because they knew that I wanted to do this already for a long time. And it kind of saw it coming, although it happened really fast.
Did you feel any guilt when you told them, or when you actually moved? Did you have any guilt behind it?
Yeah, I did, definitely, because I mean, like I said, they were really supportive. I could also feel that they found it really difficult.
Who in your family or friends found it the most difficult?
I think it was my mom.
Are you guys really close?
Yeah, we are. I'm close with both of my parents. So, yeah, it wasn't easy, and I think especially for them, it wasn't. And yeah, I did feel guilty because my parents are also like a bit older, and it's like, I don't know, just...
Do you feel like because you're the youngest, it's like now you're supposed to take care of them?
Yeah, kind of, in a way. I mean, not right now, but maybe in a few years, I would feel that even more. And that thought makes me like scary and makes me want to cry, but we're not going to do that. But yeah, I do feel that. Yeah. And also because I am older now, it's like you have more responsibilities and like you're not in your early 20s, whatever, anymore. So yeah.
Yeah.
It's scary. And yeah, I've definitely had feelings of guilt.
I'm curious, did your parents ever put any guilt on you at all, or did you just feel it on your own?
No, they don't, luckily. But sometimes my mom makes these kind of like subtle comments. Like I remember when I last visited my family, we went out for dinner, and then my mom said, like, all out of a sudden, she said, yeah, I noticed that if you go to the Netherlands, you always hang out with the same friends, like, but you had like more friends, right, before you moved. So it's like she said like that there's like not that much coming back to anymore. And I was like, but I don't need to have that much to come back to because I don't live here anymore. But I think in her head, she was like, what if she comes back and she doesn't have any friends here anymore?
You know? Oh, you mm-hmm. think she was saying because you left, like you're not friends with a lot of people that you were friends with before? Or like the friendship group is getting smaller? Or is she trying to make you feel guilty? Was that like a...
No, I don't think she wanted to make me feel guilty, mm-hmm. but I think she meant it like in a good way, in a sense that she was worried that if I would ever move back, would I still have friends? But I'm not moving back. Like, that's not the case. So I told her not to worry about it because I made, like, new friends here and I still have friends in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
But of course you cannot contain, like, the same group that you had before because it's impossible.
Yeah. The friends that you, I guess you aren't as in contact with as much because you're not there, were they more like acquaintance type friends or were they like not as close friends?
I think they used to be close, but I think already when I still lived in the Netherlands, it would shift a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because also what I've noticed, and maybe there's more people that have this, that have like childhood friends and lived in the same place for like their whole life. Like I lived in the Netherlands for 28, 29 years. And I made like a lot of friends, like through the years.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you also notice... Well, I noticed like later that you also used to hang out with people because it's like more of a habit than you're actually like really consciously kind of, because it's just...
You've known them for so long.
Yeah. Okay. So you don't really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you move abroad, it's like you notice who still like contacts you and asks how you're doing and la la la. So I think... Yeah, it's, I don't know if that makes sense. But,
yeah, it does.
But, I mean.
But also too, it takes a lot of energy to have a lot of friends.
especially as an introvert like us.
Yeah, and the fact that they're so far away because it takes more effort, I feel,
mm-hmm.
When friends and family are further away.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And how did you experience like moving? Because you already lived away from your family, like most of your family, right?
Yeah, I lived away from my family for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 22, actually. So I got used to being, this is like my immediate family. I did have some family in California
mm-hmm.
as well. So that kind of like was nice. But it was family that prior to moving out, we weren't so close, but I was able to like build a relationship with them by being in California, and it's grown.
Mm-hmm.
But I had been used to living far, but when I told my mom that I was moving to Portugal, she was like, huh? What? Mm-hmm. But she knows me. Like when I say I'm going to do something, I do it.
Yeah.
So she already knew it was going to happen. But she was apprehensive and she didn't want me to. And then as we discussed in a previous episode, how like I booked a job like right before and she's like, are you still going to go? She was one of those people that were like, are you still going? Like, maybe this is a sign that you should stay. And I'm like, no,
this is not a sign. We're going to ignore it. Thank you.
No, I'm still going. I love you. But, in regards to guilt, I don't feel any guilt. I do feel bad that I'm not like near my family and I can't mm-hmm. see them as much, but I don't feel guilt because I've always lived my life to where it's my life mm-hmm. and I'm going to do what makes me happy. And I need to have these experiences for me.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's super important. And I also remember like my parents saying like, as long as you're happy, mm-hmm. we're happy.
Yeah.
So I think that's beautiful. And also like, I mean, for your mom, it was obviously a shock because also I think you moving to Portugal is quite spontaneous. So you didn't even know yourself that you were going
move. So. Yeah, it was a bit of a shock. But it was like, on the surface, it looks like it was a shock, but I've wanted to move to Europe since like 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always in the back of my mind. I just didn't know how I was going to get there and how it was going to happen. And then when I came to Portugal, I was like, oh my God, this is the place. And then also too, all the places I visited, I've loved, but I never felt like I wanted to live there until I came here. So then I was like, okay, well, let me research and see what it is to do. And I was like, oh my God, I could totally come. And I was like, oh my God, there's an opening.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So that's how it happened. But yeah, on the surface, it can look like it was really fast.
Yeah. But
I've been thinking about it for years.
Yeah, it's just that Portugal was like the missing piece.
It was. Yeah. And I never even had it on my mind to come visit.
No. But also, they say it's like easier to move to Portugal than to, for example, like Italy or Spain. I don't know if you can confirm that, like with the rules and stuff.
Well, I think once Portugal started doing like the golden visa, and I think Spain was doing like the golden visa thing too.
Oh, they had that as well?
Spain, I think Spain actually had it first. Oh. I could be wrong.
And then they were like, no more people, please.
But I think they actually still have it going.
Okay.
But I don't know. But I'm not 100% sure. Oh. But now I heard that there's these programs in Italy, and I think they're kind of like copying off of like what Spain and Portugal has done. Because now there's a program in Italy where you can, like, if you go to school, or there's a digital nomad type visa that you can get in Italy as well.
Okay.
So, but that's just recent. I think in the last like 3 years.
No, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's like so much things are changing.
I think it's because they saw how much money was coming into Portugal and to Spain because they offered these visas. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, we can make some money.
Yeah, but also I think it has to do with like young people leaving. And like, for example, in Italy, some places there's only like old people left.
That's true.
And they really need more young people.
And then also too, I think 2020 COVID happening literally opened up the door because now everybody was working online.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the big thing.
Yeah, that made a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It made it easier for all of us, actually.
Yeah.
Like, well, maybe not all, but I mean, I can't talk for everybody, but for most people, it offered like a lot.
Yeah.
So, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
I know.
That was already like a...
I know.
sidetrack. First question. On to the second. Mm-hmm. Have you ever struggled with sharing hard moments with friends and family back home just because you chose this?
I feel like the only hard moments that I've had here have been from back home.
So you couldn't really, you could share that. I mean,
I share pretty much everything with my mom anyway, or with my family. So yeah, all of my hard stuff that I've had while I've been here has been stuff that's still back in the States. I haven't had any like hard things here.
Well, the last 2 weeks, maybe. The 3 weeks.
That's true.
Did you already forget about that?
I forget pretty fast. No.
That's good, actually.
I know. Except for the situation that recently happened, but I don't want to.
No, we're not gonna go into that. But you wrote about it in the Weekly Mail, right?
Yeah, and I wrote like a part one.
It's part two coming. Part three, part four coming up.
Yeah.
So if you want to know more, then subscribe to our Weekly Mail. Yes. It's completely free. The link is in the description, and we tell all the personal and juicy stories there because sometimes it's too much to share in the episode.
Yeah. But in regards to that situation, no, I was not afraid to like tell my family what was going on. I immediately was like, hey, what do I do?
Do you also have friends back home with who you share it, or it's mostly like your mom or direct family?
It's mostly my direct family.
Why is that? Is that the difference for you?
Well, most of the friends that I have from back home, they all moved like away.
Mm.
So, like, my last few years in L.A., it was mostly, like, it was more recent friends that I had created, like, within the last, like, 3 or 4 years. So, it wasn't, like, my, like, deep-rooted friends. So, And my deep-rooted friends that I've had for a really long time, we don't really communicate like all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like here and there. Okay. But when we communicate, it's like we haven't, like mm-hmm. we miss time or whatever. But it's like really deep friends, but it's like we don't talk all the time.
Mm. But don't you feel like whenever you see them, you have like so much to talk about that you don't even remember where to start?
No, mm. not really. I mean, because I've always been like the quiet one.
Mm.
So I've always been the one that just listens.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, you kind of have to pry stuff out of me.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of just, if they ask questions, I'll answer. But I'm not just like, unless it's something like I'm truly like passionate about, I'll start like talking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's not, I don't feel like, I don't know.
So no one knows about the situation, like your friends back home, they don't know?
The recent one?
Yeah, like what happened here, like they don't know. Okay.
No.
But when was the last time that you saw them, like in person? Was it when you still lived there?
Yeah. Mm. Well, one friend, it might have been like a year or two before I left LA.
So we're talking about like 3+ years now in total, almost 4.
Yeah.
Wow. But then you still talk like on WhatsApp and, well, you don't use WhatsApp, right? In the, we learned in another episode. You have, what do you have? Like message?
No, just regular on your phone, okay. Like iMessage or whatever. Okay. Yeah.
Funny.
Just text.
Texting. Whatever. Yeah.
But yeah, like yeah, Instagram or just like, I mean, I've always been like, I'm not, I will admit, I'm not really good at communicating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, communicating like with my, like making the contact to constantly always communicate with like friends.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes family too.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten better at it, but like, I can go like a long time without talking mm-hmm. to people. I don't know if it's a toxic thing or what, but I don't know.
Well, we all have our toxic traits, right?
I know. So but
this could be one of yours.
It could be. It's like I have to literally make a conscious effort to like, okay, I want to talk to this person. Like, I have to like put it in my calendar.
Really?
To like, if I, yeah.
But isn't that because like, so much time has like passed by that it's like it becomes harder maybe to open like a conversation.
That's true. Like, and also too, I'm more of a, I like to be in person
mm-hmm.
type of person. Yeah. I don't like talking on the phone. I prefer to be in person. So that's why like when I call my mom and things like that, it's always FaceTime.
Yeah.
So, but I still would rather be in person.
Yeah, but that's a bit hard when you move overseas. So
I know. So that's why
I find time. Other ways. Yeah.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think for me it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. I think I share more with friends mm-hmm. than with family, and I don't know if it has to do with like the age gap between me and my parents because they are from like a whole different generation, like the boomers, let's say. And I don't know. For me, it just feels like more natural in a way to do, just share everything with my friends. Mm-hmm. Also, I share a lot with my parents, but just not all, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But I would still talk to them like regularly, I think mm-hmm. 3 or 4 times a week or something. But I do remember like one time, well, maybe there's been more times, but this thing really stood out for me when my parents visited me for Christmas, not last Christmas, but the Christmas before. I was sick, and when they left, I was getting like more sick, and I got an allergic reaction. But I didn't want to share that because mm-hmm. it was like the day that they were supposed to leave, and I already knew like if I'm gonna say, they're gonna be worried about me, mm-hmm. and my mom's gonna freak out that she has to leave, and mm-hmm. so I was just like holding it in just to kind of like also give them a break because mm-hmm. it was like an intense week for them, and like yeah. they had to travel, and I didn't want to put like any more worries on them.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm happy that I could share it with like my friends like in detail, because with that allergic reaction, I sent like pictures because I had like a rash. So I would send them pictures every day of how it was going and about my symptoms and everything. And then I went to the pharmacy to get like an antibiotic cream and la la la. Mm-hmm. I shared like the full story with them so I could still feel like some kind of relief. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it's sometimes also hard with like friends. It's like I don't want to complain like about my life here because I'm really grateful to be here. Mm-hmm. And I mean, for some people, it's not even possible to live this life, you know?
Yeah.
So I do really struggle sometimes with like sharing the hard moments and sharing.
You get a little guilty. Like when you want to, like when it was raining for like 2 months, you're like, I can't really bitch and complain because.
Because in the Netherlands, people have it worse, like with the cold and stuff. And they had like so much snow this year, so they couldn't even leave the house. I mean, I couldn't leave because of the rain and they couldn't leave because the snow. So I was in no position to like complain.
Yeah.
And also if there's like something here happening that's like bad, I think it's also hard because then sometimes people would literally say like, yeah, you chose this, you know? So it's like, sometimes yeah. It doesn't feel like that good to.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point of thinking about like when it was raining so much, and because I'm from California and it barely ever rains, I guess I really couldn't be complaining. Like,
you chose this. I chose this. Or if it's like 38 degrees in the summer, you're melting in your apartment. Yeah. People are like, you chose this.
That's so true.
But it is true. I mean, I chose this.
You take the good, the bad, and the ugly with all of it, with your choices. So
it is.
I mean, every place has its good and every place has its bad. So it's just a matter of balance.
It is. But then if you would still live in your hometown, it wouldn't be like you chose this, you know? It's like different, right?
That's
so yeah, that sometimes is a bit unfair or something.
That's
it's
true.
Like you always have a choice. So
yeah. That's true.
If you choose to stay, it's also a choice.
That's true. And okay. We decided to leave. So, next question.
Yes. Yes, yes.
What's the biggest misconception that family and friends have about your life in Lisbon?
Ooh. Well, in regards to this, I think for most people, like I'm from the Netherlands, so I think a lot of people think that life is like amazing just because the sun is shining, you know? So I think
yeah,
that's like the biggest thing I would say. But yeah, of course the sun is not always shining. We had like 5 weeks of storms, which was really crazy and draining. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of damage has been done here in Portugal, so it was really scary actually. Also, whenever you meet like friends of friends or new people in your hometown that you haven't met before, they're like, mm-hmm. Oh, you live in Lisbon, like how amazing, you must go like party all the time and go to the beach and, you know, do all these things. And mm-hmm. sometimes I'm like, I'm not, you know, it's like it's not like I'm not enjoying,
yeah.
But life is just life. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not saying that I don't have a good life. I have definitely a better life here than in the Netherlands. At least that's how I feel. So that's good. That's also why I moved. Mm-hmm. It was to improve my life, not to make it worse. Mm-hmm. But then still, it's like, there's always like things happening, right? It can't be picture perfect, but mm-hmm. I think that's the image that people have of people that move abroad,
mm-hmm.
that they live their best life, which is
yeah.
partly true. And also you see it a lot, of course, like on Instagram, it looks probably picture perfect in my stories, but I mean, I don't share like all the hard moments there.
Yeah.
It's like, I would call my friends, my family, and I don't put it on Instagram. I mean, some people do,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. It's just,
yeah.
I don't really like that. How about you? What is the biggest misconception that people have?
I would say the biggest misconception is just like, oh, do they have that here in Portugal? My mom is always like, oh, they have this in Portugal.
That's so American.
Yes. My mom is always like, oh, they have that. Oh, they have that. Like, yes, mom.
What does she think? It's like
it's like the most simplest things. I think also she does it to be funny, but I can't think of like one specific thing that she's like
Wow.
Is it recently, she said?
Maybe in regards to like your furniture or in your kitchen or...
Yeah, it was, who knows? It's like the most simplest thing that she's like, oh, they have that in Portugal.
That's why, like, because it's like so far away.
Yeah, it's like a foreign country. So she assumes that, who knows what she's assuming is here or not here. But yeah.
That's funny.
I know.
So she's basically thinking that you're like living in a foreign kind of ghetto or something, yeah, where there's like nothing.
Yes, I don't know. And then I show her certain things. She's like, oh,
it's nice. That's funny. Yeah.
But she's always like, oh, they have that in Portugal.
I think my mom is the opposite, because sometimes I can't find things like in the store, or like super, super simple things. And she's like, why don't they have it? You know, it's the opposite.
Yeah. It's so funny. Yes.
What's one thing you gained from moving abroad that you would have never experienced if you stayed?
Well, I would have never experienced the dream that I had for years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I had stayed, I would have been like living in like, I wonder what that would be like. Or, you know how people live with regret? It's like the opposite. What is mm-hmm. it when you're like... always wanted to do something but never did it.
It's regret, right? Or
I guess it is regret, but like,
Are you testing me?
I guess I. So
the what if?
The what if? Yes, the what if. So I don't have to experience the what if because I actually did it.
Yeah.
So that would be
exactly
the one thing that I gained, is not having to experience the what if.
I like that.
Yeah.
And also maybe regret is not the best word for it, because if you never try, you would have never known. Mm-hmm. So you would also not know what you've missed.
Yeah.
So you can't regret it.
Yeah.
So it's the what if.
It's the what if. Yeah. What about for you?
Like that. I think for me it's many things, actually. And I think what stands out for me is that I just couldn't picture myself like starting over. That was something that was like holding me back, because I lived in the same place for so long. I mean, I moved also in the Netherlands. I moved to other cities, but I always kind of would come back to my hometown in the end. And I was also scared of... Well, not scared, but I just thought it would be impossible to kind of make new friends, in a sense that maybe I would find friends, but not like that they would feel so close to me mm-hmm. as what I had. Mm-hmm. So I think overcoming that fear and also realizing that it's actually not so scary to start over, and... now that I've moved here, I'm sure that I can do it another time if mm-hmm. I want. Mm-hmm. Maybe in yeah. the future, like I don't have any like concrete plans for it, mm-hmm. but you never
know. It's like you've experienced it once, so it's like, oh, I know what it's like now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like people who have a lot of fears of different things, and then they finally do it and they're like, oh, do that again.
Yeah, exactly. And that's also what people told me, like before. They were like, probably, you know, you will experience it and think, oh, that was easier, that was nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
like the unknown is what's scary. Mm-hmm. But it's like once you do it, you like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and also you don't want to make the mistake of like comparing it to each other, because you can't, because it's like two complete different lives mm-hmm. in a way. Mm-hmm. And I think beforehand I was a bit scared that when it came to like my friend circle and stuff mm-hmm. that I wouldn't find it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I had already the best of the best.
Yeah.
Which is partly true, because I have amazing friends. Mm-hmm. We talk to each other every day. But that doesn't say that I couldn't like create that here as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I think that was for me like the biggest gain. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's more things, but yeah, let's keep it.
Yeah.
Ready.
All right. Well, what would you say to anyone who is dealing with feeling guilty after moving abroad?
Ooh. I think for anyone who's dealing with feeling guilty after moving abroad, first of all, it's normal. I think everybody will experience this, like maybe in the beginning, maybe later in the process. But like you said in the beginning of the episode, it's your life. I think if you don't do it, you will always wonder what if, like you said also. And I think you should always like look at it from a perspective of what can I learn from it? What can I gain from it? Mm-hmm. And also in a way, I think it can also be really beneficial for all the relationships that you already have, because there's like more physical distance, more emotional distance. And I think it will also really kind of create a different or maybe better version of you, in the sense that you will rely more on yourself. And I think that's like good for everybody, that you can you're able to do everything on your own. It's normal to feel it. It's human and it can be hard, but it's also important, I think, to talk about it. And maybe it's easier for you to talk about it with like friends or family or with a therapist, whatever, just anyone that can help you navigate that feeling. Because if it's like really affecting you in your daily life, it's also gonna like harm your experience of moving abroad. So I think if you have it like on a really big extent, you should really, it's not healthy then, you know?
Yeah.
But it's normal to have it like a little bit.
It's normal to have it a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it's by having guilt, it's like you are saying like how much you love your friends and family. And that's okay. Yeah. That's good. But it also too, like I said before, you have to live your life. And it's, you can't live your life in regret because of how it might affect someone else. You can't do that. I mean, because then you're going to, let's say you choose not to go because you're going to feel so guilty, and then you're stuck in a life or a situation where you're super unhappy. So then it's like, what's the point?
You know?
So, I mean, I guess whatever advice I could give in regards to this is like, live your life. Yes, you might feel guilty, but you have to live your life for yourself. You have to make yourself happy, and you come first. So, and it's okay to feel guilty, and you just have to, you know, call your family a little bit more, call your friends and family a little bit more, do more FaceTimes, and just let them know that you're still there, even though you're not there physically. And there you go.
Yeah. Okay. So beautiful. I have nothing to add.
Oh my gosh. You guys, thank you so much for joining us in this episode. And I hope whatever we have provided today, that it can help you in some way, shape, or form. If you're ever thinking about moving abroad and the thought of feeling guilty because of it. So yeah, this is just our experience, and we hope it helped you. And remember to like, share, and subscribe, and sign up for our weekly mail. You can get the juicy details on our personal life of things that we don't share on Instagram or YouTube or TikTok. And it's written from our own perspective. So
yeah, from our hearts.
Our hearts.
Yeah.
So yeah, get all the juicy, juicy details.
Absolutely. And if you enjoy our stories, you can also sign up on Patreon to become a member, because for our Patreon members, we have even more content. We have bonus episodes. We have Lisbon vlogs, where we take you to cool events and show our life here.
And we have a new event that we're going to post on our Patreon. We're going to
Singles Night.
So we're going to post that on our Patreon, so you'll want to see that.
Yeah, so sign up for Patreon through the link in the description, and we'll see you there.
Yeah. And this is
From Lisbon with love.
Ciao. Bye, guys.
Thanks for spending this time with us.
And for listening to our stories, our laughs, and a few of our growing pains.
If this episode resonated with you, share it with someone who needs a little Lisbon love in their life.
And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. It helps more hearts find our little corner of the world. From all of us,
from Lisbon with love.